Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
I can now go boldly before the throne of grace, says the book of Hebrews. But before the cross, this is how God set to do it. And this man, this high priest, was a model of sorts. He's a model of our Lord Jesus. This golden plate on his forehead basically stands for whenever you are working and ministering as your office of high priest, never, ever forget that people mess up and sin. Very important. Verse 39. And you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen. And you shall make the sash, or this belt, of woven work. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them, which were those turbans, for glory and beauty. And you, speaking to Moses, you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons. Who is fastening these articles of furniture to the high priest? Who is doing this? Here it's Moses. He is modeling whom? I think our Lord, as depicted, as we'll see, in Zechariah 3. You shall anoint them, which is to say, choose them. You shall consecrate them, which is to say, to fill them. And you shall sanctify them, which is to set them apart for a specific purpose, verse 42. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. When they would go up the steps of the brazen altar, God says, we don't want to look under their skirts, so to speak. So we're going to make a covering over their private parts, if you will, their innermost private parts. Because you can be ministering for the Lord, but if your underside is showing and it's not in a good place, is that detracting from the ministry? In the New Testament, what does that speak to us? We can be serving like crazy, our hat looks good, our ephod looks good, our belt of truth looks awesome, but what if inside the private places we are mad, bitter, angry? Can it affect our ministry? Look with me with your eyes, verse 4 of chapter 29. I want you to notice this. And Aaron and his sons, you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle, and you shall wash them with water, verse 5. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, etc., etc., verse 6. You shall put the turban on his head, verse 7. And you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head. Skip now to verse 20. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand, and blood on their big toe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the idea of the right hand of your thumb, that's an idea of your service and what you do and what you have done. And what's the thing about the big toe? It's where you walk. Do you see what God is doing here? He's saying, I know what they've heard and what they think about things. I got to change that through the filter of the blood of consecrated animals. And the things they set their hand to, either future or certainly what they used to do, I've got to cleanse their heart and mind. It doesn't matter what you've done, Aaron and sons. What you do from this day forward will be seen through the blood of the ram. And what about where you walk? Have any of you walked in some pretty bad places? Have you been looking for love in all the wrong places? Look what's happening here. Skip down to the last part of verse 21. And on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he, Aaron, the priest, the minister, and his garments shall be, say this word with me, hallowed. The enemy is always lying to you about God. You want to step up and move for God? Do I need to remind you what you were about not even 15 minutes ago? Do I have to remind, look at you, you've been divorced. Look at you, you've been this, you've been that. You're 50-some years old and now you want to build God's house? What are you, nuts? Don't forget this section. Was Aaron always a Boy Scout? Answer. Who was in charge of the whole golden calf thing? That was Aaron. The point of this is, look what God is doing to his ministers. I'm going to put, instead of the blood of some ram, I'm going to put, as it were, my blood on your ear. Whatever is getting in or has got into your brain, I'll cleanse it. On your thumb, whatever you used to put your hand to, now I'm going to consecrate it in you. And remember your feet, wherever you used to walk, oh, you say, oh. How many of you have ever been worshiping? You're right there with the Lord, and you're loving the Lord, and all of a sudden through your brain, whoop, comes that video of something that you did heinous years ago. Come on, am I the only one? And then you start feeling lousy. Don't forget, there's blood on that. There's blood on that. There's blood on that. Says so right here. Love that. Now skip down to verse 25. Now when all that is done, what did he do? He brought Aaron. He washed Aaron. He robed Aaron. He anointed Aaron, did Moses. He covered all of the past sin with the blood on the ears, thumb, and big toe. And then he's going to fill his hands. Love that. I got time for a little rabbit trail, right? You remember David and Goliath? You remember that? How many of you remember where David picked up his five smooth stones? We got it at Walmart under the Goliath section. Do you remember where he filled his hand? When he's up with his brothers and there's Goliath, all 10 feet of him. Terrifying. Who wants to fight me? Then starts tearing down the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And preteen David sees all of the armies of Israel shuddering behind their armor. Who was the giant of Israel, by the way? Saul was. Remember, he was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. Remember that? We want a real king. We're tired of you being our president, God. We want a king like everybody else does. God's all, really? Yeah, okay, I'll give you a giant. And they got Saul, handsome. He was head and shoulders above all of the men of Israel. Oh, they said, he looks good on TV, almost as good as Mitt Romney. That guy looks good. He's our man. Look at him. Ooh, he's handsome and articulate. Athletic. Check out our king. God says, you like your giant, do you? Oh, yes, we do. Well, let me show you that there's other giants out there that you might not have thought about. And out of the woodwork comes Goliath. And all the people of Israel go, oh, okay, our giant, go get him, Saul. Where was Saul, everybody? He was in Fernley. No, he wasn't there. He was hiding in his tent, and it took a preteen David hearing the awful things that that giant said about his God. I've written songs about my God. What? How dare you, uncircumcised Philistine? And you know the story. He rushes into the valley of Elah. And David stoops down in the valley of confrontation and picks up what God needs to work with, puts it in his sling, gets it rolling, and I like to say he let fly the first guided missile in history. Sinks in the giant's forehead, boom, and down he goes. The Lord will fill your hands with what you need. And finally, now verse 25, to this priest, you shall take all of these things. Moses did it for Aaron. And then when you're all done, you bring, the high priest is to bring back, receive them back from their hands, and then burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. When you're out there swinging away, when you finally get it that you are man or woman of God created in Christ Jesus for such a time as this, and you begin to step out of what God has called you to do and to be, and like the people of Israel, and you feel the inward contention within your own family, perhaps within your own Bible study, I pray not, but even in your own church, you will move ahead and you will see God fill your hands and things will happen. Talk to some of the people that are going out to work with the homeless people on Saturday and hear the stories being told. But then when you're all done, you know what you do with these things that he has filled your hands with and all the glorious victories in the Spirit? You know what you do? You bring them back and you give them back to the Lord. They weren't yours anyway. And who gets all the glory? Now back to Zechariah 3. How about that for a preamble to our story today? Chapter 3, Zechariah, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. And there he was, standing before the angel of the Lord. You know, when they would dress up this high priest, these garments were magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. These were articles of clothing, the quality of which, the colors of which. As you look around the room today, there are lots of different colors. That's wonderful. But in these days, most people dressed in various shades of beige because bright colors were tough to come by. When in a sea of varying shades of gray, so to speak, or shades of beige, suddenly here came the high priest with all these amazing ornaments, the 12 jewels sparkling, glinting in the sun, and the two on the shoulders. What must he have looked like to the typical person? Wow, look at that guy. Humans thought that the high priest was resplendent beyond description. Yet, when he stands before the Lord, I want you to notice something. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Who is this guy? Isn't he the resplendent pinnacle of human whatever? No, he's just a brand plucked from the fire. Now Joshua was clothed in priestly garments that we just read about. Joshua was clothed with what, everybody? Say it. What? Filthy garments. You know this one, Isaiah 64, verse 6. We are all like an unclean thing. And all, everybody say all. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our sins, like the wind, have taken us away. How many of you ever got swept up on the sin wagon? And if you think that you are exceptionally a loser because you have, that's not what the Bible teaches. And this high priest, humanly speaking, he was resplendent, but God knows, not really. He's filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. Notice Jesus doesn't say, oh, dude, Joshua, dude, you stink. And all of us, no matter how good we look on a Sunday morning, we all got stinky things, and so did the high priest. And God doesn't say, go to your room and get cleaned up. And don't come back before me until you scrub up. Look what he does. The angel of the Lord Jesus says, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes. Did we see that in Exodus 29? Who dressed the high priest? Moses did. When we finally believe God loves me, not because of what I do, but because of who I am, his son or daughter, and we step up that halting little baby step, I'll go for you, Lord. Maybe it's in a difficult marriage and one of the spouses or both of the spouses are all, I'm this far from going out. Instead, you're like, no, I'm going to show up for work. Maybe it's a ministry in this town. Maybe it's somebody at your work that you need to speak to. And you're like, I don't know if I should say. When we step up to be serving the Lord, you know what it is? Like Joshua, we stand before the Lord. And then what do? Nothing. You just stand there, and he brings all of the garments of clothing. He robes me with robes of righteousness. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I got a verse here, I'm pretty sure. Verse 60, Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God. How many of you want to rejoice and have joy in your walk with Jesus? Here's how. Realize he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's just Old Testament. Oh yeah? New Testament. 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, says John, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But when you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. You didn't know this, but two Wednesdays ago, I showed up here and I did some teaching, and you weren't any the wiser, but there's no way you could have known that earlier that afternoon, my wife, my beautiful wife, she's not feeling well, she's not here today, she showed up with groceries from Walmart, which is always a joy and a treat. But digging in, you know what she found? She found the little Ben and Jerry, little baby. Can't hurt you. They're only this big. Three little cartons later, a Ben and Jerry's chocolate fudge brownie. There I was, and you didn't know it, but I had consumed them, and you didn't see Ben and Jerry's hot fudge brownie, because you know why? Because it was inside me, and there was no, well, the expanded waistline. But that's circumstantial evidence, so you can't count that. The point of it is, when the devil is accusing you, the father, the judge, looks over to the defendant's table, and he sees sitting there, so to speak, not so much you, but Jesus, because you are in Christ. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God. How holy and righteous is God? What's the answer? He is the holy and righteous one. If you are in Christ, that's how God sees you today. You know, I got to show you one more thing. Back to Exodus chapter 28. Steve, you're painting a pretty rosy picture. Then why aren't godly, amazing Book of Acts type stuff jumping out of every church? Why is my life not reflecting that? Well, there could be a caveat here that you need to be aware of. Chapter 28 of Exodus, one more time. Skip down to the last part of 28 that I didn't read. Look at verse 43 of chapter 28 about the equipping of the high priest. God continues with Moses. So after all of this, they shall be these articles of clothing, 7 articles in all. They shall be on Aaron, on his sons, when they come into the tabernacle of meeting. And when they come near the altar to minister in my holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and what? What's the last word? Say it. Wait a minute. You mean you could die in the ministry? Yeah, you can. Not from the enemy. Can you die in the ministry? You can. If what? If you're not wearing the articles. I encourage you to study them in the first portion of Exodus chapter 28. If you'd like the New Testament version, Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God is very similar. The helmet of? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know it? Can you be rattled away from it intellectually? And also the turban was the covering of the head. Are you under authority? Are you a Lone Ranger Christian out there doing your own thing and not under the authority of some brothers or some sisters or a pastor or a church? Is there the sash or the belt of truth, so to speak, and the ephod, the breastplate, etc., etc.? And are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? This is wonderful news, everybody, to get dressed for ministry. But if you don't, you could die. That is to say, you could become discouraged in ministry. And last thought, I was reading this week that the guys who work in the steel foundries, you know what that is, where they melt down steel? Did you know that the main part of where the molten metal is kept and worked is a place called the crucible, aptly named. 3,000 degrees is the crucible. And you have to have a special suit made of all kinds of asbestos and steel lined, and you've probably seen them. They look like some kind of a weird, something out of Star Wars. And they come in there with the grips and stuff, and then they work some of the materials. Can you imagine the UPS guy showing up for his first day on the job working next to the crucible, and he's still wearing his shorts? Is he adequately dressed for the job? Conversely, would you like to see the guy in that big asbestos steel-lined suit driving the UPS truck and 100 degrees outside? Would that be apt attire for his job? I am so excited about this picture in Zechariah chapter 3. I pray that some of the imagery perhaps sticks with you throughout this week. In this room are some of the most amazing men and women of God called for this town for such a time as this. And please, in Jesus' precious name, may you put aside the accusations of the devil always in your brain. You can't, you won't, you always, you never. And put all that aside and remember that the blood is on your earlobe. The blood is on your thumb, what you put your hand to. And it's on your big toe where you have walked and where you will walk. God says, let me dress you. Amen? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time and the word today. Thank you for these powerful pictures in Zechariah chapter 3. I pray, Lord, that these images stay close to the heart of all of us this week and that more and more people are daring to hit their knees in WWPF. They're in the word. They're worshipers. They pray a lot and they're in constant fellowship. And let the scales fall off of our eyes and let us begin to get a glimpse. I can get free. And God can and loves to use me. In Jesus' name, everybody. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.